Welcome to the daily VFN Radio Highlights, where we're keeping the conversation light at VFNTV.com. Enjoy.
With Common Core, it is amazing what this young man, his name is Ethan Young. We want to talk about this a little bit because a lot of folks have a lot of opinions about this. And, you know, we're on the learning journey. We're learning every day. And we find out one day we knew something, and the next day we find out that we needed to learn things more thoroughly. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
Are we going to play it from here or are we going to? Okay. And it's going to be 5 minutes. You have to listen because he's got his act together. He's going to download an intense viewpoint as he's talking, I believe, to the Tennessee school board about Common Core, about Common Core. Listen to this viewpoint because he nails it.
In a mere 5 minutes, I hope to provide insightful comments about a variety of educational topics. I sincerely hope you disprove the research I've compiled. Here's the history of the Common Core. In 2009, the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers partnered with Achieve, Inc., a nonprofit that received millions of funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thus, the initiative seemed to spring from states when in reality it was
I want to say in the context of this so you understand, this is a young student talking. This is not some legislator talking right here. This is a young student. To give you a perspective for those that are not watching on Christian Television Network, and those who are listening on radio, understand this young man knows his stuff. This name is Ethan. So he's covering in detail the Common Core. So I want you to hear it from that context. This is a young man standing before all these teachers and adults and the school board giving the viewpoint of Common Core here.
In a mere 5 minutes, I hope to provide insightful comments about a variety of educational topics. I sincerely hope you disprove the research I've compiled. Here's the history of the Common Core. In 2009, the National Governors Association and the Council of Chief State School Officers partnered with Achieve, Inc., a nonprofit that received millions of funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. Thus, the initiative seemed to spring from states when in reality it was contrived by an insular group of educational testing executives with only two academic content specialists. Neither specialist approved the final standards, and the English consultant Dr. Sandra Stotsky publicly stated she felt the standards left students with an empty skill set lacking literary knowledge. While educators and administrators were later included in the validation committee and feedback groups, they did not play a role in the actual drafting of the standards. The product is a, quote, rigorous preparation for career and college, yet many educators agree that rigorous is a buzzword. These standards aren't rigorous, just different, designed for an industrial model of school. Nevertheless, Common Core emerged. Keep in mind the specific standards were never voted upon by Congress, the Department of Education, state or local governments, yet their implementation was approved by 49 states and territories. The president essentially bribed states into implementation via Race to the Top, offering $4.35 billion taxpayer dollars to participating states, $500 million of which went to Tennessee. And much like No Child Left Behind, the program promises national testing and a one-size-fits-all education because, hey, it worked really well the first time. While I do admire some aspects of the core, such as fewer standards and an emphasis on application and writing, it's not going to fix our academic deficit. If nothing else, these standards are a glowing conflict of interest, and they lack the research they allegedly received. And most importantly, the standards illustrate a mistrust of teachers, something I believe this county has already felt for a while. I've been fortunate to have incredible educators that open my eyes to the joy of learning, and I love them like my family. I respect them entirely, which is why it frustrates me to review the team and Apex evaluation systems. These subjective anxiety producers do more to damage a teacher's self-esteem than you realize. Erroneous evaluation coupled with strategic compensation presents a punitive model that, as a student, is like watching your teacher jump through flaming hoops to earn a score. Have you forgot the nature of a classroom? A teacher cannot be evaluated without his students. Because as a craft, teaching is an interaction. Thus, how can you expect to gauge a teacher's success with no control for students' participation or interest? I stand before you because I care about education, but also because I want to support my teachers. And just as they fought for my academic achievement, so I want to fight for their ability to teach. This relationship is at the heart of instruction. Yet there will never be a system by which it is accurately measured. But I want to take a step back. We can argue the details ad infinitum, yet I observe a much broader issue with education today. Standards-based education is ruining the way we teach and learn. Yes, I've already been told by legislators and administrators, Ethan, that's just the way things work. But why? I'm going to answer that question. It's bureaucratic convenience. It works with nuclear reactors. It works with business models. Why can't it work with students? I mean, how convenient calculating exactly who knows what and who needs what. I mean, why don't we just manufacture robots instead of students? They last longer and they always do what they're told. But education is unlike every other bureaucratic institute in our government. The task of teaching is never quantifiable. If everything I learned in high school is a measurable objective, I haven't learned anything. I'd like to repeat that. If everything I learned in high school is a measurable objective, I have not learned anything. Creativity, appreciation, inquisitiveness, these are impossible to scale, but they're the purpose of education. Why our teachers teach, why I choose to learn. And today we find ourselves in a nation that produces workers. Everything is career and college preparation. Somewhere our founding fathers are turning in their graves, pleading, screaming, and trying to say to us that we teach to free minds. We teach to inspire. We teach to equip. The careers will come naturally. I know we're just one city in a huge system that excitedly embraces numbers. But ask any of these teachers, ask any of my peers, and ask yourselves, haven't we gone too far with data? I attended tonight's meetings to share my critiques, but as Benjamin Franklin quipped, any fool can criticize, condemn, and complain, and most fools do. The problems I cite are very real, and I ask only that you hear them out, investigate them, and do not dismiss them as another fool's criticisms. I'll close with a quote of Jane L. Stanford that Dr. McIntyre shared in a recent speech. You have my entire confidence in your ability to do conscientious work to the very best advantage to the students, that they be considered paramount to all and everything else. We're capable of fixing education, and I commit myself to that task. But you cannot ignore me, my teachers, or the truth. We need change, but not Common Core, high-stakes evaluations, or more robots. Thank you.
That is amazing to see a young man like this face the school board and set such truths. And we're going to break from it. We're going to come back on the other side and begin to talk about, you know, Common Core and what's taking place. What's seeking God's perspective in this whole thing called Common Core and the work in manufacturing? We were just talking in our last program about Common Core, and it is a topic of discussion, and it seems to be different in different states and different particular regions. But this young man named Ethan Young, and you can actually see him. We saw him on YouTube where they had it. We have available for you on the Torch. Go to vfntv.com and click on the Torch and watch this young man break it down. Mm-hmm. And there is a lot of logical viewpoints or logical arguments that are going on right now. But when it comes time to God's outside of our mind, you want to try to figure things out and, you know, your own wisdom and your own intellect. But the truth is that God's wisdom frustrates the intellect of the intelligent. I mean, that's what he does. And and he makes a very logical argument, and I hope he's right. He did say, I hope this is not true, and I hope you disprove it. So he's talking to the school board in Tennessee. But think about it. Then what he reveals in this discussion and what we're hearing people talk about and the reports are, it's just some standardized education model that's going to train you vocationally to plug right into a manufacturing job. Well, if a lot of our people in our nation aren't working, you know, you got to ask the question, well, why would that be wrong? If they're not training for that job. When you look at the unemployment rate, according to the Bureau of Labor Statistics, as I'm reading right here, we'll make this a related article, that in August 2013, they widely were reporting the unemployment rate to be 7.3%, while the real unemployment rate they report here is 13.7%. And it looks like what they're talking about in general is the total labor force is 157.8 million workers, with 21.6 million workers unemployed. That's huge. But the big thing they're saying here is 13.7% of the people who need to work, who want to work, are unemployed. Listen, this is so important where we're at right now. The unemployment rate It's just skyrocketing. As a matter of fact, they're having reports right now. They were actually not telling the truth about the unemployment rate.
Yes.
We're not going to go there. But in the context of this, understand, so you got to ask the question, well, if I don't have a job, why is it wrong for me to be trained for a manufacturing job? Why is it wrong for me to be trained how to manufacture something?
Mm-hmm.
Explain to me why. I understand you're all Donald Trumped up and stuff, and you know how to go out and you know, make things happen. You have your Ivy League school, you know, degree.
Right.
But I'm working at McDonald's right now, and I'd rather have a manufacturing job. Why are we shipping our jobs to China, India? You know, the world is flat,
right.
Aspect of
Thomas Friedman.
And so you can't just, we can't just like say, well, you know, I want to be unrestrained in my ability to, as a Christian, so that I can just do whatever I want to do. Well, first of all, 97% of the church in America is robbing from God anyway. So you can't say that this is a godly thing, you know, right?
Yeah.
According to George Barna, regular church attenders who go at least once every 2 weeks are not tithing, giving God his tithes and offerings. So making more money doesn't make you more godly. It looks like it makes it the opposite of that.
Exactly.
And so we can't say that. Then it's like, well, maybe it's like greed. Maybe it's saying, you know, I understand I'm making $300,000 a year, and this particular family struggling trying to make it a minimum wage. But this is America. This is a free country. And, you know, they have the right to do what I'm doing, too. And it's like, well, it doesn't always work like that. You don't understand my DNA. You don't understand my generations. You don't know where I came from. You know, you don't know our budget. You don't know the school system we were sent to. You don't. There's so many variables in the context of that. But as Christians, now that's what we're talking about. You know, what is a light perspective is? Should we be really thinking like that? Should we say there's something wrong? And if it is something wrong with it, then why are you okay with buying made in China? Because that means that if you say something's wrong with it with our country, Americans, but yet you go there to Walmart and you go to your AT&T store and you look at your phone and it says made in China, that means somebody there was trained for a manufacturing job and they built that phone and you bought it while your neighbor who's struggling to be able to make it, why wouldn't you want your neighbor to build it? So you got to look, I mean, we got can't just all of a sudden say, hey, you know, everybody doesn't have that kind of drive or that kind of wisdom or that kind of education or that kind of freedom in the context of you don't know what oppressions that I've been coming out of. And, you know, some folks, you know, because of where they're coming from, many folks, the fact that they're just wearing a uniform sets them apart from their whole community because they're like, you know, I got out, I got me a job, I got a stable job and somebody that has this entrepreneurial, you know, let's just do this thing mindset, don't understand that guy at all because he's very happy. He's very successful in his own mind. He's taking care of his family. But he had to bust out of this whole mindset and just to wear a uniform. So he'll wear that uniform to everywhere he goes.
That's right.
You know, I don't care. Well, he'll just wear it everywhere.
And if he gets keys, you better watch out.
Yeah, those keys are dangling around. And so, but what about the ones that don't have that ability just to bust out? I think about that program in New Jersey where they were, if you work for so many hours in this bicycle repair plant as a young kid, then you get your own bike. And it's like you work 20 hours or something. You got to sign in and clock out. And the kids felt so good because they worked for their bikes. It gave them this value. They started even coming back and continuing to work beyond the requirement after they've already earned their money, basically, to be able to purchase their bike. How healthy would it be for America to be trained for jobs?
Wow.
You know, what a concept. You know, it's just a whole different viewpoint. But I have another perspective, a biblical perspective even deeper in this, that if we don't turn to God as a nation, we're going to be making bricks without straw. We're going to have a manufacturing job.
Oh, yeah.
And when you hear things like workers of the world unite, when you hear things about the transference of wealth, and not just in our nation, but in the nations, what you're looking at is the manufacturing jobs coming from India and China coming to America, to a city near you. And it's like, it's almost like, and I'm just talking Friedman here. I'm talking, you know, biblical perspective of what's going on, that tomorrow you could be making China's phones. You know, made in America. It's like you'll be feeding, and the Walmarts in China are probably, if they haven't already, they'll be bigger than what's in America because there's 1.3 billion people there.
And they're easing restrictions. Yes. So you better watch out. Mm-hmm.
The market's bigger there. And so maybe the new slogan's going to be, and it probably will if we don't repent, you know, that's made in America. You could buy three of those. You could buy three of those. They've been trained for manufacturing jobs. They have just a plug and play type thing that they just go to the school. They train you the whole school. And when I was talking to Yulong from China, and he's telling me that from the very beginning, they pretty much plug you into where you're going to go. I mean, he had two choices. And he trained for that whole aspect of it.
Wow.
By the way, some of these guys are jumping off the building and they're doing, you know, pretty wild things over there because they're losing their mind. But if we're going to turn our back on God as a nation, you don't think you're going to be the manufacturer of cheap products for the world? That over in the Middle East, they'll be saying, hey, you know, let's get a contract. You can actually get 100,000 of those from America for 3 cents.
Hmm. Wow.
Think about the vibe and what's happening spiritually. I know the pride of America doesn't even want to go there, but the reality is when you look at Common Core and this young man's excellent explanation of it in 5 minutes, and you look at the people that aren't working, and more people are taking than giving. And then you look at the fact that the people who say that this is important, even the church is saying it's important to be this free entrepreneurial society, is 97% is robbing from God. Think about it. And we're voting our pocketbook instead of what God would say. Mm-hmm. We're voting people based on money value versus, you know, biblical values. And we're confronting Israel the way we are right now. You know, poking our, it's like, my goodness, it's going to be made in America. Mm. Think about that.
Wow.
You know, when you think about the former president of King's College, he talked about, you know, this whole thing, the humbling down of a nation. And America was, in some people's mindset, and was all this, these colonization that's taking place in the world through the line, which would be Great Britain, that they want to basically take the main off the line, to bring it down and equal it out in the world, what's called redistribution of wealth. And a lot of Americans are thinking, well, that means then Donald Trump's money is going to be given to me. No, what it is your money is going to be given to India.
That's right.
Your money is going to be given to Africa. Your money is going to be given to China. That's what they're talking about, this whole paradigm. And so why not repent? Mm-hmm. Why not just say, you know what? We have this common core. And listen, I know some people who, you know, are godly folks who are saying embracing this common core, because if you're working with young people, you're realizing they're not working. They're not getting jobs. You got all this stuff saying you don't want to have common core, but you're not hiring these folks. You're not creating, you know, jobs for them. Somehow they're going to have work. They're going to have to work. So you can see where a school board would say, we're going to have to train these children for work. They're going to have to work one day. Mm-hmm. And way to do that is to train someone for a manufacturing job. This is how you make the widgets. You take this nut and you screw it on this bolt and you push it down the assembly line. You take this nut and you screw it on there. Mm. You stamp it made in America. They buy 50 of them for a buck. You know, and Amazon ships our products all over the world. Mm. And I'm just saying that I can understand what Ian's saying, but the truth is, are we living up to the founding fathers' original intent? Are we living up to God's intent over this nation? Are we pulling down the very thing that raised this nation up? Are we pulling down God? And the thing is that what you're saying is, yes, that's a logical argument, what Ian's saying. And it's just really getting old because people are making logical arguments thinking that they're winning because of their logic. But what God is doing, God is humbling our nation. He's humbling us right before our very eyes. And because we don't know it, we're going to be more humbled. Mm. But if at some point we awaken and we realize, dear God, we've sinned against you. We've turned our backs on you. We've robbed you. You know, we've turned to other gods. We worshiped ourselves and our things, and we didn't even acknowledge you. Dear God, forgive us. Forgive us how we sinned against you and sinned against others. Lord, restore us. And if we do that in time, if we do that in time, and if we do it rightly, then we're not going to be okay with people building our products and us taking advantage of them. Because if there was a slave trade in America that was wrong, and there was, and there needs to be a conversation that America needs to have and the church needs to have, then why is it okay to enslave the Chinese people? Why is it okay to enslave for low wage the people of India to build your products? Does it really, I mean, think about it. What trades are being taken over by low wage, under cared for workers who are surviving on a couple dollars a week while you're wearing around a shirt that you got? Is there anything any different? Isn't it all the same? Wow. It's all the same.
Yeah.
And the thing is, if we're Christians and we're concerned then about the condition of the human race, and we want to be able to do something about it, it looks like what we wouldn't do by choice that is happening by force. It looks like Zedekiah is like getting ready to step into their place. And Zedekiah is the one that takes Israel from some sort of partnership with high taxation, oppression, to Babylonian captivity.
Mm.
And then all of a sudden, everybody's got a manufacturing job.
Wow.
I don't know. We'll see. I say, dear God, forgive us. Let's repent. Let's turn back to God and say, you know what? And have compassion, not repent, so we can actually continue to rob from God, continue to oppress the Chinese people by buying products while they're manipulating their economy over there. Begin to figure out, dear God, give us wisdom on how to treat people with honor and respect, even if we have to pay more. And it doesn't matter if we're actually complaining about the slavery in the history in America, and we got beyond it in America, that we're now enslaving the Chinese people. Mm-hmm. We're enslaving the people of India so that we can have a cheap clothes from Walmart or wherever it is. I don't know. It matters to God. It matters to God. I don't know if you know this or not, but you can now see us on Christian Television Network, which has a potential audience reach of over 500 million viewers all around the world. It's amazing. One of our key audiences, too, as well. We want to welcome our new audience on WHBR, all the way from Destin, Florida, to Mississippi, over 500,000 households all around the world. It is amazing. Make sure, if you have not yet, you can find out the viewing times in your area. You can ask your local television station if we're not yet on there. Say you want VFN TV and the Daily Radio Program. You can find out more and viewing times in your area at VFNTV.com. Yes, we're 24 hours a day, 7 days a week on the radio, live Monday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 11 a.m. Central Time. But now, thanks to Christian Television Network, you can see us all around the world.
You've just been listening to the highlights from the Daily VFN Radio Program, where we're keeping the conversation light. Don't forget to share it with your friends. Find out more and listen to the Daily VFN Radio Program in its entirety at VFNTV.com or with your mobile VFNTV app on your mobile phone or device. That's VFNTV.com.
Did you know that VFNTV and the Daily Radio Program is made possible by those who partner with us and our sponsors and our underwriters? If you have not yet, you've got to go to VFNTV.com and visit them. Find out who is sponsoring, who is partnering, who is standing with VFN Radio, and become a sponsor yourself. Become a partner yourself. Listen, we stand for three pillars we believe. Without these three pillars, we won't even be here as a country anymore. That's for God and country, in that order, and Israel. If you want to take a stand, if you want to do something about what's taking place, now's your time. Partner today or become a sponsor or underwriter, and visit our sponsor and underwriters and tell them you are thankful that they're standing up for God and country, in that order, and Israel, as we stand with the broadcast 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
and VFN TV in the Daily Radio program. Find out more at VFNTV.com.